Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
So, what's a good Boney M song you remember?
I loved Boney M. I'm just going to say. I loved Boney M. Your kids, or Lola, was humming Rasputin the other day.
I wonder where she gets that from.
One of the kids at school, I think. And then she asked me to play it and I forgot to play it for her. But I love that song.
He was a freaky dancer, that guy. He was just so energized and it was just great to watch them.
I loved their Christmas albums as well.
Yeah, they had.
What's your favourite Boney M song?
I have no idea, actually. You know what? Every Friday night, I'd play at least one Boney M song.
You love your Friday nights and being in charge of the music.
Of the music, yeah.
And making people sing different things. Yeah. But always the same songs come out at some point. If Matt's around anyway, they do, don't they?
Yeah. He really likes Toto, Africa.
Africa. And he likes, what's the other one? Don't let the sun go down.
He does.
It's good. With good George Michael and Elton John.
So what are we talking about, Geezerette?
I've never heard that before. Well, you wanted to talk about something today, and I think you should start.
I was just thinking during the, you know, because I'm very business orientated in what I do, and I'd come out of a restaurant where the service in the restaurant was just excellent, and you got the front end of the house and the back end of the house. The back end of the house should always get it right and never blame the front end of the house. And the front end of the house should get it right and not blame the back end of the house. And when you got a good business, when the two of them are cooperating. And I was thinking, what actually makes, you know, a person who's serving you food feel of service? And you know, if you're in that industry, it's because you're in the service industry. And anybody who's in any job in some way is in the service industry. And I was thinking that when you have a love of something and you want to bring it to the world, you're being of service. But then I was thinking, so, you know, how do people get it wrong in business? And because you can meet people who are really, really inspired about what they do, but they notoriously can't get people to their product. They can't bridge the gap. They can't, you know, they can't make that link. They can't be the conduit. And I was thinking, what is the thing that they'd be short of? And I remember I used to go and eat in the Loose Box all the time. And
such a good restaurant.
Absolutely incredible restaurant. Alain Frabaget was an amazing chef. And I would go and eat in the Loose Box. And
weird name, though.
It is the Loose Box, yeah. And I would go and eat there. And then underneath, the whole energy of the place was the service of how they served the food was just fantastic. As much as the food was just like mind-blowingly incredible, how they served the food was just fantastic. And, you know, I remember walking past the chef's door one day and you look in the window and Alain Frabaget was there and he was like flinging pots and fucking he was going bananas. And he was renowned for being a bastard, you know, but he's the, you know, four hats chef, cooked for Jack Chirac, and banned from any of the chefing and competitions and cooking competitions in Australasia, basically because he kept winning them. And and so I remember thinking, you know, this guy's flinging pots around the kitchen. If you were working under him, you'd feel just violated and abused. But I think
Gordon Ramsay style, like I didn't know that about him.
But the thing about it is, what is it you love about these chefs? So what is it you love about Gordon Ramsay? And the thing I love about Gordon Ramsay is because ultimately his quest all the time was that he did love these people. He just expected more out of them because he felt really appreciative of who he was and what he brought to the world. And he was trying to make sure that they translated that to a plate. And to do that, there's something has to click inside of a person. And to get past Gordon's aggression and who he was and how he delivered his message. And you know, it's I think the thing about it is that then you I ask the question, okay, so what is it about Gordon Ramsay or Alain Frabagé or any business? You know, how can you have one really, really successful franchise over here and one really the same franchise selling the same product, the same service, selling everything, and have it unsuccessful over here? And I think what that is some people get into business hoping that the smile on the client's face is going to make it worth it for themselves. So they're looking for the worth inside of the client, when in actual fact, you have to have the worth inside of yourself. And you have to translate that worth through to the client by delivering a product or service. And I think it's futile to get into business hoping that the business is responsible for bringing you happiness or contentment or, you know, you have to or fulfillment. You have to have those things inside of yourself. You have to be happy with who you are, content with who you are, grateful for who you are, and deliver that through your product or service to the world.
So basically, are you saying that, like, because you hear people say often, it's a bit of a catchphrase every now and then, that, well, I know I hear around often, is people who want to be of service. So basically what you're saying is that sometimes what people consider being of service is helping other people and seeing the outcome for another person and thinking that is enough in terms of being of service. Like the fact that the customer smiles at them or the customer has a good experience or whatever, that is that in giving something that you're of service. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that's the wrong way to do it. Like the payoff of a client saying thank you to me is just an acknowledgement of who I am. But, you know, not everybody says thank you. Not everybody's going to be happy. Not everybody's going to be content.
But is that what you're saying, that's where people think? Are you saying that some people mistakenly think that's where being of service lands?
To give and give and give and give and give and be of service to others.
Almost like in a servantly manner, like that service word is almost like I'm your servant.
I'm your servant. And so if you think about it, like if you think about it in terms of people who hire help, you know, and like you have British families who have and Indian families and Australian families who have had servants, right? Mm-hmm. And those servants come from a line of servants. Their father before him was of service. Their father before him. And they're born into the family. And so there's, when you understand that, I think what I'm getting my head around at the moment when I think about this stuff is that you have to have high levels of self-worth and high levels of appreciation of yourself. And when you have that, and you have that self-worth and that appreciation for yourself, whatever it is you're going to deliver in whatever manner you're going to deliver, it shows up. Mm-hmm. But when you think that the business, or if I go and help you, I'm going to get that and I'm going to find myself in that, I think you do in some way, mm-hmm. but it has to start at home.
It's not the cart before the horse thing. So this is, I think this is a supply and demand thing from what I'm hearing you say. Mm. It's that people think that if the customer is just as a very broad generalization, if the customer is happy and if the customer, then I've been of service.
Yes.
But the truth about it is that it doesn't start with the customer. It starts with you. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
It has to be that the service shines from within. Mm-hmm. Service is something that you are. It's not something that you do.
Yeah.
It's not something that you give other people. It's something that you bring to everything that you give.
Yeah.
So you're saying that it's not about, because a lot of people, and I know that we noticed this a lot last year, a lot of people find their worth in their jobs, in their ability mm-hmm. to show up to a place and they find their identity there because mm-hmm. they're getting feedback that they're okay, because they don't realize that they're okay without that feedback.
Yeah, and I think also, I think we said this last year, but people forget why they were employed in the first place.
In the first place, yeah.
That they think that when they, you know, that when they lose their job or their position, that they've lost everything. It's like, oh my God, who am I? They don't appreciate me. But they hired you in the first place because of what you bring to the table. But no one's it's no one's responsibility to account for what you bring to the table. That's your responsibility. You have to see what you bring to the table. And you have to be aware that in understanding what you bring to the table, that is what people appreciate you for. Mm-hmm. And then you got to translate that self-worth through your products and services. You will see that in how you train people. And so what that is that if you have high levels of integrity, if you have, you know, if you have appreciation for yourself, if you have courage and if you have morals and ethics and you understand those and you appreciate themselves, appreciate them in you, that will just naturally translate through to your product, your service and your clients. Mm-hmm. And so I work, you know, I was talking to one of our coaches earlier and I was training her on how to help the client make the right choice in what they're doing, be that choice to do something or not do something. And, you know, that sort of training in the wrong hands, you could literally get a person to do anything. Mm-hmm. But I explained to her at the end, I was like, so do you understand how that system works? And she was like, yes, I see it. I understand how that system works. And I said, it's amazing, isn't it? And she went, yes. And I said, so do you see that it could be dangerous in the hands of the wrong people? And she was like, absolutely. But I said, the reason it's in your hands, I said, is because we appreciate your levels of integrity and how you will translate that through to your clients. Yeah. And we appreciate you for who you are. And our objective is just to make it less cumbersome and easier for you to be able to help a person and make the decision that whether you want to work with this person or not. It's not that the person wants to work with you. They will naturally want to do that anyway. You have to make the choice whether you want to work with that person or not. And you have to understand that your intention, your integrity, your courage, your tenacity, and your accountability and responsibility, as long as you understand you have those things inside of you, you will always trust that you'll make the right choice when you communicate with someone because you're translating that through your product and service and you're translating that through your message in assisting someone to make a choice.
So the opposite of that is not feeling that you have integrity, not feeling your own courage, your own tenacity, and hoping that the client... Mm. who signs in with you or the client who buys your product or service, by doing so is going to give you that.
Yeah, or is going to say something or is going to do something down the track that gives you that.
That's going to give you that.
You know, so you're prolonging your own acknowledgement.
And you're shortcutting your own self-worth by placing it in the hands of somebody else. You're trying to give yourself, because at the end of the day, your service is steeped. How much service you are able to provide to another human being, or to anybody in this world, is steeped in how much self-worth you have, right? Mm-hmm. And that if you have,
well, it naturally translates, right? Mm. When you have high self-worth, it naturally translates into your business. It naturally translates into the energy of the company and who you hang out with and what you deliver. And it naturally translates there.
Yeah. Because I think that so many people, I know I've been guilty of this in the past, right? That right when I started doing this type of work, I felt like I could get my self-worth by helping other people, right?
Yeah.
And forgetting that I was in the position to be able to help other people because of what I brought to the table, right? So we negotiate our own self-worth because we value what we perceive the other person is going to get as a result. Or what is it? What we value what they're going to give us more than what we can give ourselves. Mm-hmm. What we value, what we perceive they're going to give us by the acknowledgement or by the whatever, more than we value what we're going to give ourselves. So what we can give ourselves.
It's that thing that we talk about, Mass Amount of Money, where it's their. You value another person's opinion of you as opposed to your opinion of yourself, which costs you in your vision.
Yes.
So your vision is limited to the degree to which you're able to acknowledge what you bring to the table.
Yes.
And translate that through. Because we meet lots of people that want to start businesses, get into, you know, be of service to the world, and they just go about it arse about face. And it's like, well, you have to understand, people are not buying your product or service ultimately. They're buying you and your energy. You know, you go and buy a pair of Jimmy Choo shoes, you're buying his creativity, his appreciation for his service and what he brings to the world and how he's been able to translate that into a product or service.
Yeah. So, you know, when we, you know, our graph for supply and demand, and we've got supply on the horizontal axis and demand on the vertical axis, right?
Yeah.
Axis. And we talk about the fact that supply is also your physical quest and demand is your spiritual quest.
Yeah.
But we also talk about the supply being your debt and the other side, the vertical axis being service. So your service is all entwined with the demand and it's all entwined with your spiritual quest. It's what you're here. It's what you bring to the table, who you are, the essence of your it's like when we talk about our spiritual quest, we think we want the money, right? But anybody that you ask, they don't want money. They want what they perceive money is going to give them, the freedom, the success, the importance or whatever.
Yep.
It's the same thing. It's like people don't want, you don't want, what you're essentially looking for when you're helping other people is you're not looking for you're looking for what you perceive that's going to give you, and you're thinking that in helping them you're going to get it without realizing that you've got to give it in order to be of higher service. You've got to give it to yourself first. The only way to help another person is to be able to give to yourself first, and that's in any industry. We were talking before we started this podcast that it's not just business owners, it's anybody. You can see in anybody. You can go into any supermarket, any shopping center, any store, and you can see the people who value what they bring to the table and value who they are, because it shines through when you ask them for help, when you ask them for guidance or direction or whatever. You can see the people who have who are of service because they understand.
A great example of that is Bunnings. And a great example of that is Bunnings. You know, people, the older guys who are in there, and even the younger guys who just love working there, because, you know, I go into Bunnings, I love Bunnings, and lots of people do love Bunnings, but particularly men, and I love Bunnings. And
you know, Ollie loves coming
40% of what's in there is just shite. Like, it's just literally shit. And you don't always get the high quality stuff in there, but there's just something about going in there. But that means that the message has translated through. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And it has to come from the top. You know, so I think that you go into a restaurant where the service is... Yeah, absolutely. Well, the message has to come from the top. It may have translated into the business and into the advertising, but it started off somewhere. Like, Bunnings started off with some bloke in a shed getting stuff in.
Loving the service he provided.
Because he felt that he couldn't get the products he needed to be able to put up his shack or whatever, or build his home. So he saw a gap in the market, and then, you know, you watch the ads and you look at how they translate the message, and you feel as if, you know, they're teaching you something, they're showing you something, and you want to be a part of that. And it's like you go into a really good restaurant and you when you sit down and they bring you the food, they will explain to you what it is you're eating, because the chef has explained to them, okay, this is what we're serving at the table today, this is your special at the table today. But you go into a restaurant where the waiter just throws the food at you, or the chef comes out and complains and says, oh, look, I'm 45 minutes late. It was the waiter I just hired. It's like, you know, he has no passion or vision for what he wants to bring and how he's delivering that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So when you're feeling the love, it has to come from the top.
Right. Well, I don't know about that. Mm. What if you get to the chef is not feeling the love, but the waiter is?
I haven't experienced that. I haven't experienced that.
Just trying to think if I have, actually. I get that at the end of the day, though, at some level, there is, like, you know, from these things don't start unless that people understand that they have a service to provide and mm-hmm. they want to provide. But the value that they provide is dependent on their ability to understand
yep.
who they are is definitely, I agree with that part for sure, 100%. Mm-hmm. So then being of service, what is that about? What is that about? Like summarize it.
Well, being of service is knowing, like, there's a great magic that happens when a person accounts for the skills and abilities that they've picked up along the way, and they're appreciative of the people that they picked those skills and abilities up from, because you find yourself there. And a lot of people run around going, I don't know what I'm here for, I don't know what I'm here for, and or why I'm here, I'm lost. And ultimately, you're not lost outside, you're lost inside. And when you stop and, you know, how many times have I seen it that a person starts to do some internal work and then it just finds them, you know. It's just they tune into their self-worth, they become appreciative, they start to account for the people and the situations and circumstances that shape them. And once they account for them and they have that, something just finds them. Life just falls at their feet. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Where I also mean...
How do you account for it? What do you do to account for it?
Well, I mean, the only way I can explain it is I have to talk about me. So the way I did it was is that I stopped and looked at all the things that had occurred in my life that I thought were bad. And I just asked myself, how did they teach me? What did they show me? Who did I have to become to handle those situations? How did it enable me? How did it empower me? And as I did this, and I was really specific about those moments, I found my self-worth. Mm. And as I did that, I realized that for me, it was like, okay, this is a really great technique for helping other people to find their self-worth. And I've worked this out and I feel this is unique to me and this is a unique thing that the world doesn't have. So I want to bring it to the world.
Right. So it's all about building your self-worth.
Mm, 100%.
Mm. Okay.
Cool.
Where do you feel like you're most of service, Mitch?
I think as a dad, I'm of service. I think when I'm dealing with... I was thinking about it today, you know, why do I love helping people make the choice?
Did you say pickle?
Pickle. People make the choice to do something with their lives. And it's because I think that I'm really proud of, and I feel really inspired by the people that I get to work with and that are around me and the team. And, you know, I really find magic there. And it's a fucking pain in the ass sometimes as well. I mean, that's just... teams and life, and you know that's the game. You get out on the pitch, you're gonna have a good day. You get out on the pitch, you're gonna have a fucking loss. It's just how it is. But what I find it in feeling so proud of when someone makes the choice and I can hand them over to the team or I can work with them myself, I know that they're in good hands every time. Mm. So that's where I find it.
So the fact that you've been able to provide that,
cool.
I like it.
Hey, whether this is you at the beginning of your personal development journey or you're perhaps immersed in your growth and transformation, at MJB Seminars, we have everything to help you live an inspired life.
If this episode resonated and you're looking for more information on how to have an actual breakthrough and transform your life, visit us over at mjbseminars.com.au and book yourself in for a complimentary discovery coaching call.
Also, make sure you like and follow us over on Instagram and Facebook. And review and subscribe to Dorothy and the Dealer today.